Some things are just better together. Chips and salsa, sports and friends, Breezeline internet and mobile service. Get lightning fast gig internet and a free month when you order online. You'll also enjoy a free mobile line for an entire year. No hidden fees, just nationwide mobile coverage and reliable fiber-powered internet with a free modem and Wi-Fi. Everything you need at home or on the go for video chatting, gaming, working, and more. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Visit breezeline.com today.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, love it or loathe it, cooking is essential in our daily lives. And whether you're a foodie like me or somebody who's simply looking to learn a few of the basics, cookery schools are a fantastic and fun way of improving your culinary, and I'd suggest other skills as well. Joining me now to talk about their cookery schools for this week's industry review are Pat Conway from Smoke and Soul down there in Wexford. Catherine Fulvio is from Ballynockan House Farm and Cookery School down there in the lovely Wicklow. And also joined by Dorina Allen from Ballymaloe Cookery School in Cork. And Dorina, I might start with you in terms of, I want to say this in a very complimentary way, but as the senior person on the panel, can I call you, to tell us a little bit about, you know, the wonderful thing that is Ballymaloe Cookery School, because it means so much to so many people.
Oh, so, well, thank you, Bobby. Well, the cookery school started in 1983, and so we've been operating over 40 years now. And we're very fortunate in a way that we live in the middle of a farm, that we live in the middle of a small 100-acre farm, but it's been farmed organically for nearly 30 years now. And it's a sort of busy, very biodiverse working farm. So the students can literally see how their food is produced from the farm, from the, you know, the soil to the fork sort of thing. There's well hackneyed phrase nowadays, from the farm to the fork.
Yeah. And Dorina, can I ask you then, how do cookery schools maybe reflect modern food trends?
Well, now that all depends on what you teach, of course. But and when I mean, Myrtle, my mother-in-law, Myrtle Allen, always used to say, you know, keep in touch with what's going on with the trends around the world, but don't follow them slavishly. So. Yeah. We continued to do that. So what we teach was originally, I suppose, when we started in 1983, was what you might call our main schedule was sort of the Ballymaloe or country house cooking to a great extent. But now it's all of that, but also very multi-ethnic, because we travel quite a bit and, you know, everywhere I go, food is my subject.
Yeah.
So I'm always, you know, researching and looking out for something new and exciting.
Yeah, and the composition of the cookery school, Dorina, you know, it's a very important part of what's going on, but it's also influenced, as you say, by the farm, by the hotel, by the restaurant, by the shop. You know, it's all these things working in tandem, is it not?
Well, absolutely, and the students literally come from all over the world to a great extent because the school is in the middle of a farm. And I find that students nowadays are more and more interested in literally how their food is produced. And when they come here, you know, students who make a decision to come to a cooking school out in the wilds of East Cork and the south of Ireland, you know, they're, to a certain extent, they're on a certain wavelength. And when they come here, then they've met their tribe. So basically, yeah. And so they, you know, love to be with people that can, who are really interested in food and food production and all of that. And then they go off out. And they, actually, this morning, spring 12-week course students were just leaving this morning. Oh, it's always heartbreaking because such strong bonds are formed over 12 weeks. And so now they're off all around the world and they'll start businesses and, you know, write about food and all sorts of opportunities to...
Stay with us, Dorina. Stay with us. I want to bring in our other two guests, one of whom is Catherine Fulvio, down in the lovely Ballynockan House there where I've been. Catherine, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Lovely to talk to you again, Catherine. Tell us a little bit about your school and what you do down in Ballynockan.
So I came into the business in a slightly different way. My mum opened one of Ireland's first farmhouse bed and breakfasts in the late 1960s. Now, she called it a B&B. We cooked three meals a day for guests. So I grew up cooking with my grandmother and my mother. And when I took over the family business 23 years ago now, I thought, I need to upskill here. So off I went down to Doreena's and yeah. I had the best 13 weeks of my life. It was amazing. And I came back and I came back with the idea that I was just going to, you know, I was upping my cooking skills and serving nice food to the guests. Then people started asking me, you know, how did you make this dish? And I was in the corner of a little kitchen showing people. And then I looked out at an empty milk and parlour and thought, I'm going to convert that into a cooking school. So that's what I did. And that was 21 years ago we opened. And I run my school slightly differently. I do short courses. So mine are all half day courses and I run them for individuals. They can come on Saturdays. We have like a whole range of themes from Asian street food to mastering gnocchi and pasta, Italian, fab mains, dessert, seven nights on a different planet, right. So on. However, we get a lot of guests coming for private events as well. So we would have maybe hen parties or corporate groups or, you know, people just celebrating family birthdays and the likes. Like we had a 70th birthday party, for example, a wonderful event last weekend. And they stay over because we've accommodation as well. And we're all about the fun in cooking, you know, teaching in a very convivial environment. And we grow our own and we have a sheep farm. It's just, it's a lovely way to work. Yeah. I just enjoy the work so much.
And isn't it wonderful as well that you're a product of Ballymaloe, Catherine? Just to give Doreena her credit there for teaching you all those years ago.
100%. Well, we're very proud of you, Catherine. Yeah. Very, very proud of you.
Let's bring in our third guest, Pat Conway from Smokel Soul down there in Wexford. Pat, how are you?
Good, Bobby. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
No, lovely. I'm sorry for keeping you so long, but I'm delighted to meet you on air because one of my daughters gave me a voucher for your wonderful cookery school. So you're going to be seeing me in the flesh where you didn't.
Excellent.
So I'm really looking forward to it. So tell me and indeed our listeners what it is you do down there in Smoke and Soul, Pat.
Yeah, so we have 1 and 2 day courses down here and we host them over the weekends throughout the year from February through to October. And I suppose the whole idea behind our courses is that we really want to bring people back into contact with the origin of their food. And we really want to kind of close the gap between, you know, the end consumer, who we ultimately all are, and producers. Because there's a lot of smoke and mirrors out there about, you know, the quality of produce that you can put onto your barbecue or your live fire unit. And that's one main element of it. But the other thing is we want to show people tips and tricks and techniques about how to get the best out of all styles of barbecues. Because we have this preconception in Ireland maybe that, you know, your barbecue is just for one thing only and it's for burgers or sausages and you cook them directly over flames. But we want to strip back those preconceptions and show people that there's, you know, other ways, offset, smoked, you know, indirect, things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
So you're all about open fire. You're all about smoking. And you also, am I right in saying you actually fabricate barbecue equipment as another line of your business? Is that correct?
We did. I suppose
was that COVID driven? It was.
It was actually, Bobby. Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of things going on down here. I mean, we started off as food traders and ultimately we ended up getting a bit of notoriety for our products and we ended up with the cookery school. And I suppose we were working with some really nice brands and that really kind of pushed forward the cookery school element of things. It gave us the confidence to do live demos in front of people and whatnot.
Right.
And that kind of brought us up to 2020. And of course, then COVID came about and we were making our own equipment for ourselves because there was nothing on the market that really suited us size wise. And then it kind of happened naturally that we diversified into the fabrication element because of COVID. So myself and Jim, who's my business partner, Jim O'Brien is my business partner, and he's actually in the middle of it. We're in the middle of a course at the minute, so he's holding the fort for us.
Well, that's good. That's why none of our wonderful cookery school proprietors are in studio today, because you're all working.
Well, that's it. Yeah, we're all booked up, which is great. You know, people I think around the country at the minute are really beginning to focus in on quality of produce again, which is a great thing to see.
Yeah. Dorina, back to you. When we look at the business model of the cookery school, you mentioned the 12-week course there, which I presume is the bread and butter of the business. But what you do rather cleverly is that you have one-day courses that dip in within and around that. Can you tell me, or tell our listeners indeed, about the formula that actually makes it work commercially for you?
Well, basically, we do half-day courses, we do day courses, we do two-and-a-half-day courses, week courses, six-week courses, and 12-week courses. So there's something, and every afternoon the demonstrations are open to the public. So if people are just in the area for the afternoon, they can book in and come along and see what's going on. But more recently, this actually started during COVID. We also got a lot of our demonstrations, not all of them are online, so people can join up online as well if they want to. But wait till I tell you, Bobby, my latest, my startup at 75, actually, so I'm 76 now. Now that I'm drawing back a tiny little bit from the day-to-day running of the cooking school, Rory and Rachel and all the team are concentrating on that. So I started the Ballymead Organic Farm School in the middle of the farm to pass on those skills, the skills that have been kind of built up over 60 years and so on.
And how does that work, Dorina? How does that work?
We had hoped it would be a success. It's a smaller niche runs concurrently to a certain extent with the school side by side. And we'd hoped to be a success, but we absolutely were not prepared for the overwhelmingly positive response to it. So again, there, there's half days, days, weeks, 6 weeks, and then the Climate Farm School from California, from San Francisco, are coming over in a couple of weeks' time. We do homesteading courses, how to grow, about the, you know, everything about the soil, how to grow vegetables, how to keep bees, how to keep chickens, house cow, all of those sort of things, and on and on. So we're still building the curriculum, but the response is incredible. We had, and how to, you know, prune your orchard and everything to do. And people are desperate. It's really, really interesting. There's a deep craving there to relearn forgotten skills or skills you didn't
know.
Isn't
that wonderful?
People are literally flying from Australia and America. America's one of the biggest markets, and the homesteading movement is a global thing. People leaving cities in their hundreds of thousands.
It's fantastic work that you're doing.
And buying a bit of land, and yet they want to get the skills, how to make butter and how to preserve and all of that sort of thing. So anything people would like to learn, we'll pass on the skill of it.
Absolutely excellent. Catherine, can I ask you how you go about designing your courses? You mentioned there you have a very diverse, I suppose, portfolio of customers, be they on hens or stags or people who want to learn to make gnocchi or whatever it is. But how do you decide what to put on, I suppose, to maximise results?
Well, Bobby, firstly, can I say, sadly, I've never had a stag here, ever.
only hens.
Of course, there's kind of the Italian, the other half of the family is Italian, so we would spend a lot of time in Sicily, so we bring a lot of Italian to the table, and that really helps. You know, we've got a lot of kind of Southern Italian knowledge. So that is something that people like to be inspired by, you know, how to make their own pasta and all the various sauces that go around with it. But for me, really, it's just listening to the customer. And as Dorina mentioned earlier about the food trends and seeing, you know, what's happening in the restaurant scene and what's new. Like, that's how we came up with our new course this year about Asian street food. It's the type of food that people are more interested in now that they may cook at home. But I'm a very practical person when it comes to cooking. And I like to always show recipes that I feel people will, you know, recreate definitely at home, and also maybe even add their own twist to it. You know, they're like, oh, well, I might prefer a little bit of chorizo with that, and, you know, those kind of things. So I'm always kind of approaching it from a very practical point of view. And in fact, it's weird, but maybe it's not weird, but the most popular course we run is the 7 Nights, 7 Dinners, 1 Plan. And it is about like midweek meals. And you would think, oh gosh, we all know that. But people get set in their own ways. It's like that old Shirley Valentine movie, you know, it's egg and chips on a Friday, and you kind of find yourself get stuck in a rut. And people come to cooking schools looking for inspiration, for new cookery techniques. It's a social occasion. It's a lovely day out as well. but it's also for new, brand new inspiration that you can bring
home.
Yeah,
and you get out of your
spirit for cooking.
The fact that you go on location to your school as well gets you out of your rut or your daily grind, and one is able to think creatively. Pat, when we talk about barbecue, there's so many different influencers, American, Mediterranean, Balkan, even within America, you've got Carolina, Texas, all doing different things. The world of barbecue is truly immense, is it not?
Oh, absolutely, Bobby. I mean, there's something for everybody out there when it comes to barbecue. And again, it is about, you know, stripping back those preconceptions, you know, just starting off with a humble burger or sausage, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, we delve into all aspects, you know. We have the hot and fast element that you might find in, you know, Asia and South America. We look at the likes of the States, as you mentioned, you know, for the big ticket items like the briskets and the beef ribs and the pork ribs. We even take a lot of inspiration, you know, from North Africa and the Mediterranean when it comes to seafood dishes and especially desserts as well. So there's something there for everybody if you just turn your mind to it, you know?
Yeah, I liked your the ultimate pitmaster retreat, which is hope what I'm going to do with you, where you start the day with a gourmet breakfast with a coffee. So you're actually consuming food before you even start to learn. That's my type of cookery school.
Absolutely. I mean, we tell everybody when we're coming down here to us to come hungry, because we go through like 12 dishes per day if it's the weekend or on the Saturday and the Sunday, and we're looking at about maybe 13, 14 dishes on the one day. So you really get a real encapsulation of the entirety of the barbecue world with all the different styles of dishes that you get, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well done. Last word to you, Doreena. And again, as I say, you've done the state some service. We thank you for all your dedication over the years. I'm so thrilled that you're still involved, even at your own, you know, that you're still doing stuff down there absolutely love doing. So the future of the business looks good, of the sector looks good, does it not?
Well, it is absolutely, you know, absolutely does, particularly now that so many people, having concentrated on career and on academic skills, find themselves not really with the practical skills to feed themselves properly. So there's Bobby, started to go back on YouTube to do a series of Ballymaloe basic things that, you know, people often, you know,
boiling the egg,
but scramble an egg, or I mean, you know, you can't imagine. But I really, really want to share that as well. And then so that's just called Ballymaloe Basics. And but there's a huge demand for cooking class. I think all of the others are finding exactly the same thing.
Okay.
And a craving to find very simple things sometimes. And then
all right. Well, I want to thank you all, one and all, Pat Conway from Smoke and Soul, Doreen Allen from Ballymaloe, and Catherine Fulvio from Ballynockan. I really enjoyed our conversation, and keep doing what you're doing, because we absolutely adore this business, and long may it last.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.